The recent national apology to those affected by forced adoption policies of the 1950s right through to the 1970s was welcomed by many as an overdue recognition of the harm caused to mothers and fathers and their children affected by those policies. But with all the attention focused on birth mothers and children particularly, some adoptive parents have felt overlooked and even, and this is a worry, demonised, because they too faced immense challenges as they took children into their care and helped their adopted children reconcile with the fact that they were adopted and even connect with their biological parents at some stage in their adult lives. It's a confusing legacy for all involved. And joining us this morning is Joan Boner. Joan and her late husband Brian adopted two children in the 1960s, and also with us is John Young. He and his wife adopted two children in the late 1960s and early 70s. A warm welcome to you both, Joan and John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello there. Joan and John, I'll come to each of your stories, but Joan, how did you feel about last month's apology by the Prime Minister as the mother of two adopted children from the era really in focus here?
Well, I knew what was going to happen because I had been advised from the Attorney General and what the Senate had decided would be the situation, and that is purely for the children that I found offensive of being, we were called that we were kidnapping the children and the adoptions were unethical. So I did listen and I thought that it could have been, I feel, organised a little better, that we could have been included, and our story is mixed, or not our story, but our position in adoption be just as important as the apology to those who lost through forced adoptions. I'm certainly not saying that that did not happen, but over the years, I think too, from the 50s to the 70s, adoptive parents were very conservative. We didn't really broadcast the fact that these are adopted children. They became part of us. So that when the reverse of Secrecy Act happened, all this just blew up and we had no warning.
Very confronting to you.
It was confronting, yes.
John, what was your feeling about the apology and where did it leave you feeling?
Well, firstly, I didn't listen to the apology. I have always held the view that the apology is an ineffective tool. It might reflect amongst some people as being a gesture of substance, but really the whole process is about 30 or 40 years too late. My major concern has always been that the loss of the natural mother and the loss of the child and the adoptive parents, excuse me for a moment then, the adoptive parents have just sort of melted into the background. They have, as Joan said, not promoted themselves. There's never been a need to feel that we should promote ourselves. We should be people who should have been accepted as being the natural parents of the child in terms of raising that child and being offered support for that role. In actual fact, I found the whole process to be, shall we say, very hasty in the first stage, and then we had to wait quite a number of years before the children came along. You have a sense of guilt, you know, about not in the first instance not being able to have your own children, and then secondly, you're raising somebody else's children, and you know that those children will take a little bit from you, but there is so much that they have not got that belongs to you
Yes.
That they find themselves isolated at the same time.
Yes, it's a very complex story. And John, I'll come back to you because you were incredible in the way that you facilitated the meeting of your adopted children with their biological parents. I thought that was incredible. It's an incredibly potent story. Joan, you adopted your eldest child, your son,
In 1962.
How did that come about? He had been, you thought, abandoned.
Well, he was. It was we'd been living in London for a couple of years, and when we came home, we thought, now's the time to start a family. But it didn't happen. So I went up for testing, and my husband went for testing, and we were told, and I won't say who was the guilty party, I'll just say that we were told it was highly unlikely that we would conceive. Well, it was devastating to us both. Especially my husband, because he said to me, after me, there's no line. And those days, there was no help as one has today. We were out of it. So we decided we'd adopt. And we went through the procedure of filling in papers and getting our financial situation had to be disclosed and all that sort of thing. And then it was years of waiting list.
Real procedure,
and
wasn't it?
Absolutely. And really, you wonder sometimes. I used to think, gosh, some women you see running with their children, running around with singlets and bare feet in winter with lots of children, and they're not investigated like we were.
However, so how did you come to adopt your eldest child? He was in a place called Scarborough House, which was a respite centre, really, wasn't it?
A respite centre, and it was also, I believe, a part of the, respite for children attached to Crown Street Women's Hospital, where my son was born. And we were told by a friend of ours that they were lucky to get an adoption from Scarborough House, although it isn't an agency. So we went out to see it and talk to the social worker, and she explained, no, it wasn't an agency like that. But she took us for a walk through the building, and there was this dear little baby, was about 3 months old, propped up against the blade wall with big brown eyes, looking, and my heart went bang. And she said to me, that little boy I'm worried about, he was left here when he was 2 weeks old on the understanding that the mother would be in contact continuously. She was only a teenager. And this didn't happen. And she was concerned that when that child reached 6 months, he'd go into ward of the state. Well, it really worried both my husband and I. And then we approached her again. And she said, yes, it could be a private adoption.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened. And we went through hell, Gary's, you know.
It was quite a process, wasn't it? And we'll come back to what happened there, because I think the story in both of your cases of what then happened to your adult adoptive children is very interesting. But in 1965, Joan, you adopted a baby girl.
Yes, she was 3 weeks old.
And that baby girl grew up into a young woman and an adult who really struggled with being adopted, didn't she?
Well, when she was 8 years old, we were together hosing the marble sheen in the swimming pool, and she was a good little swimmer, and she said to me, if that other mother didn't want me, why did she bother having me? Mm-hmm. Now, I thought that was an incredibly profound statement by an eight-year-old. So, these questions come to you when you least expect it. So we talked it through. And then as she grew older, she said to me, I never want to know my mother. So she didn't want to. But unfortunately, she was artistic. She had problems, big problems. I think she was angry. And she went overseas and finished up in Seattle for 11 years, and she died 4 years ago from cancer. So I did go over several times to talk to her. We said a lot about her situation and my situation, but she said again she thanked me and my husband for giving, she always referred to my son as an orphan, to give two little orphans a wonderful home and a wonderful life.
And we'll come back to your son's story in a moment, because he actually went and connected with his birth mother without you knowing, which caused you some distress. John, let me come to you. You also adopted a son and a daughter. Tell us about how that came about.
We went through the normal government processes, and we waited 3 years, and then we were advised that an 8-week-old baby boy was available, and we made the trip down to Crown Street Women's Hospital, in the public section there, and the young lad was lying there, and he was he had bed sores and whatever around him, and we looked at him. We only had two choices. We either accepted him or we went back to waiting again.
Mm.
So we had decided prior to going there that no matter what, that if the child was healthy, that we would accept the offer and take that child, and as a normal parents would do when they gave birth to their child, they would have to accept whatever the child was. So we took the young lad, and he's grown into a very successful person.
A strapping man.
Yes.
Much taller than you. And you talk about that sense of a kind of the presence of another parent in the body of your child almost, don't you?
Well, I think every adoptive parent looks at their the children that they have adopted, and they know that there are two issues at work here. One is the one that you know that you have got, and that they possibly will learn from you. But there is those elements in the child that are masked, and those elements will come out in odd occasions. And as I recalled yesterday, I came home from work. I was in the Air Force. I came home, and the lad was standing in the lounge, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I knew as I knew that he knew he was in the wrong place.
Wow.
Now, he was angry. He's always been angry with what happened to him, and he's mellowed somewhat over the years, and we now have quite a good working relationship, because my wife and I raised his two sons from aged 3 months. We had them for about 60 or 70 hours a week, whilst the son got on with and his wife got on with promoting their careers. And she died 2 years ago from a brain tumour. But we had the boys 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night.
So you became a carer for the grandchildren
too. We
were. John, you were very proactive. For both of your children,
yes.
In seeking to connect them with their biological parents, the birth parents, I guess, or birth mothers, and there is complex and contention around the terms we use here. But why did you feel so strongly about that? Because it seemed they didn't.
I think it's an instinct within an adopted child to reject the person that rejects you.
Yes,
it's a natural response.
Mm.
We didn't feel that way. We felt that they had, in fact, they must know who or where they came from. There are elements in every human being that are common to other human beings around them, and people will recognize those things. But in the adoption process, the child has been walking almost on top of a wall and not knowing which side to jump down on. And we felt that they should understand where they came from.
And how did they react upon meeting their mothers? And I know things are more complicated for you and your daughter now.
Yes.
But how did that meeting go? What impact did it have on all of you, including your adopted children?
Well, I'll speak in general terms first of all. In general terms, my wife and I tried to step back from it to allow them to develop whatever relationship they needed to have with that with their natural parent. In the case of the boy, he just said he wasn't interested. He said that he thought his mother was a whore, and that was it. He just dismissed her.
Oh gosh.
And but eventually I said to him, look, I will find her for you. If I can find this person, I will find her for you. And I did. And we eventually got her to the house where he was living temporarily whilst he was building a new home. And she came in, and before she had gone in there, and I was a councillor with the Queensland Government at the time, I said to her, you must not push yourself forward. You must take things as they come.
Gently, gently.
Gently, gently, that's it. But unfortunately, the moment gets lost, and people don't listen to common sense. And in 2 days, she almost destroyed the relationship by trying to take over and do things, trying to compensate for those 20-odd years that she had not had him. I said, you can't do that.
It's such a complex...
Sorry.
No, I can just hear how complex these various relationships are, you know, as you try and cultivate them. Joan, your son sought to meet his mum, and that caused some distress for you, didn't it?
Well, he and his partner, he wasn't living with us, he was in Bathurst at that time. I hear what John is saying, but in my case, I would not force it onto the children. I said to them both, if you want to find your roots and your natural parents, we would love to help you, but you make up your mind when and if you want to do it and tell us when.
But he decided to do that privately.
But he decided to do it with his partner, and he rang and he didn't tell us. And he rang one weekend, very excited, that he'd found his birth mother. And it was a shock to both of us.
Maybe he didn't want to hurt you.
Well, that was right. He said, if it doesn't work, we haven't hurt you, and et cetera. But in our case, we wanted to be involved. So doesn't matter. That's over. And he went to meet them, and with all the rallies turned up, and that was very good. But I will say that I think Brian and I were both like it. We felt a little bit on the back burner, so we had to come to grips with it ourselves, and we did.
In a sense, it was a loss for you, wasn't it? Because he formed a very close relationship with his birth mother and that whole family.
That's true. But I think that I have to see both sides, otherwise I'd end up a bitter old lady.
Yeah.
So that I don't. And my son and I have a very good communication. I don't see him as much as I'd like to, but that's all right. I don't live in Sydney any longer. But he rings up and he asks advice, and we talk a lot. But we had to go through those teenage years, those wondering who I am, the aggressiveness, with both of them. They were trying to find themselves. But I didn't force it. And when Kelly said no, she didn't want to see or ever meet her mother, and she was angry, I wouldn't dream of saying, but you've got to. So that's where John and I don't agree. But it has worked out well. And my son has his connections, and he talks to them. And I can accept that, but I've never met them.
A question to both of you, just to wrap, and I can hear how difficult this is for all involved. I'll say that again. John, how would you like the role of adoptive parents from that whole era to be acknowledged or recognised? Is it about acknowledgement?
Personally, no, I'm not really interested. I would like to just address something to Joan. I didn't force my children to meet their adoptive mothers, their natural mothers. I simply said to them, if you want to, I will find them for you, because that was my job, finding people. Yeah. So I did not force them to do anything that they didn't want to do, because that is a retrograde step. You don't gain anything from that. Your question again was...
Well, it was about recognition.
As long as I have recognition from my children,
yes,
that I've done the very best that I can for them, and I still have a very good working relationship with my son and his new wife, and every day I see my youngest grandson, because I pick him up from school and take him home.
So intimately involved. And Joan, just finally to you about your feeling at the end of this.
Yes, well, I really think that the adoptive parents of that period, 50s to the 70s, is the missing link. And I would like to see the apology of those that were in forced adoptions understand us, and we become a complete entity of the legacy of the 50s to the 70s, because medical science has improved. When you're told you can't have children these days, there's another way around it. So we're in a particular era, and I think it would be very good that we were all one whole. Now, I did get a very nice reply from the Attorney General and from Prue Acton.
Prue Goward, I think it was.
I'm sorry.
The Minister in New South Wales.
Yes, I beg your pardon.
So there has been some acknowledgement.
Well, it's an acknowledgement in a letter. And, of course, we've had positive experiences, I've been told, for many families and adoptees in the scope of this. But that is okay. That is written on paper. I don't think, I don't want just an acknowledgement, oh yes, you've been very good. We are an integral part of the adoption saga.
Okay. Yep.
And I really feel that we could be a lot happier for all concerned if we became a whole.
Look, I thank you very much for sharing and revealing these stories on national radio. I think adoptive parents will really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
And thank you to you both. John Young, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, John.
And Joan Boner, thank you very much too. I appreciate it.
And thank you, Natasha.
Joan Boner and John Young, both adoptive parents, each with two adoptive children. And I'd like to hear from you on this one. Please get in touch on our website, abc.net.au/radionational, and look for Life Matters. You can find this story and you can post comments there. Or if you'd like to email us more privately, you can do that from the webpage as well. And our listener feedback line, 02833 1430. Up next, Sykes on Bikes.